One thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part which shall not be taken away from her. Let us pray. Holy Father, now bless our understanding here. Cause us to see in this gift of service and how it is to be administered. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen. So, Mary and Martha, both sisters in the town of Bethany, where Christ is visiting. He's being hosted as a guest of honor at a banquet. A banquet supervised by Martha, the elder of the two sisters, in Martha's house. If you'll recall the account of Lazarus, the one that Christ raised from the dead, these would have been his sisters. This was from a separate account found in John 11. So this was a family that Christ knew well, and there was a lot of mutual affection between them. John 11:5 tells us that Jesus had an especial love for this family. And so here he is, teaching at this banquet hosted by Martha. Hospitality in the Middle East, not only today, but in ancient times too, was a matter of honor, of moral virtue. For example, in Genesis 18, we see Abraham visited by three strangers. He never met them before, and he shows them every hospitality. He feeds them, he sees that their feet are washed. Or again, in Numbers chapter 20, here we see Moses en route to the promised land with the Israelites, and he appeals to the king of Edom for safe passage through his territory. That is all the hospitality he asks for. He asks no more than this. The Hebrews and the Edomites were related by tribe. And so he says, "Thy brother Israel wants to pass through." But the Edomites refused, and you can see in Scripture the insult that this caused. So, showing hospitality in the Middle East was not just a matter of honor, but the way it was done was elevated almost to the form of an art. And there were people who were good at it. And Martha saw herself, and properly so, as a host. Now, she was the elder, so the younger sister Mary was expected to do her part in serving the guests, especially since Jesus is the honored guest. Except for the moment, she's not doing that, at least according to Martha, she's not. She is instead listening attentively at the feet of Christ to what he has to say. Now, was she literally at the feet of Christ while he taught? I don't know. The phrase itself, at the feet, came to mean metaphorically someone who humbly received instruction from a master. For example, St. Paul in Acts chapter 22 gives his defense before the Jews. He tells them that he too is a Jew brought up in Tarsus at the feet of Gamaliel. Famous rabbi, remember today, even today in the synagogues. So Mary, at the feet of Christ, is taking in everything he's saying, and Martha is greatly displeased because she's doing most of the work, while her younger sister, who in this sense is her inferior, is not helping. She's not playing her role. She's not showing hospitality, at least in the mind of Martha she isn't, but in the mind of Christ, she is. So our theme is this. Christians are called to show hospitality. 3 points. First, there is a gift of helps. One expression of that is the gift of hospitality. Second, we're called to show hospitality to Christ. And finally, we're called to show hospitality to others. So first point, there is a gift of helps. And one expression of that is hospitality. The showing of hospitality is a gift. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 mentions a gift of helps. It mentions it specifically. We usually think of what deacons do, but it's not limited to just what deacons do. I have a Christian friend, for example, who is an events planner. He's a banquet planner. That's his business. And he sees to it that the food is properly served, is properly presented. He's responsible for creating the designed, the proper atmosphere. That is the feel you're supposed to have when you... I'm sorry. Just a minute. Yes. The feel that you're supposed to have when you walk into a fine restaurant or in some cases a home. The way the food's prepared and the way it's presented is meant to serve a purpose as well as the decor of the room. The whole presentation, what you smell, what you see, what you hear, if there's any music, is meant to serve a purpose. So really, at its highest level, it's almost an art. And it's not just limited to food service. In the arrangement of a room or a garden, that applies. In the arrangement of even the interior of a church sanctuary, it applies. Because if you have that gift, you're helping make a statement. You're either going to help or you're going to hinder the agenda of the host. And in the case of a church sanctuary, the host is God. The worship of God is the purpose. That's the agenda. So, do you want to help people worship God in a spirit of reverence and right contemplation? Or do you want them to admire the sound system or the skill of the musician? Well, either way, you're making a statement and that is meant to serve the purpose of the Word of God made known, made clear, so that people will have an easier time seeing that indeed it's relevant to them. You look at the way the temple in Jerusalem was constructed, for example. All the details, down to the fastenings and the engravings, that's a whole study in itself. So in that sense, God is the ultimate event planner. And the worship of himself is the main event. So, by the arrangement of things, he wanted people to properly reverence him and to be in proper awe when they came into his house. The only recorded time I'm aware of that Christ showed any violence in the Gospels is when the money changers in the temple wrecked the ambiance of his father's house, which was designed to be a house of prayer for all nations. So ambiance is what this is, the designed atmosphere, the feel you're supposed to have when you walk into a place. So Martha had the gift of hospitality, and in that culture, that gift was highly regarded, and it's to be highly regarded now. Our second point is this: we're called to show hospitality to Christ. Christ is teaching at the banquet, and Martha says to him, "Lord, dost thou not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Bid her, therefore, that she help me." End of statement. And you likely know how he answered. Martha, you're anxious and troubled about many things. One thing is needful, and Mary has chosen that good part. So Martha's making sure everyone has enough food and drink, including Christ, presumably. Mary is making sure she doesn't miss anything Christ is saying. Now, if you were Jesus, who would you say is showing the better hospitality? And we don't really have to imagine that here. It tells us right in the text. Now, they had to eat, of course. No doubt about it. A man does not live by bread alone, but he does also live by bread, by food. But in that moment of time when Christ is giving forth the words of life that can save the soul, the most hospitable thing that anyone at that banquet could do for him was to make sure that they gave his words the proper due. That would have been showing the most courtesy to this honored guest. In Psalm 130, King David appeals to God, "Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplication," he prays. And that's a request that a lot of people have. They want to be heard by God. But what about the other way around? Are they equally attentive to God speaking to them already in the Scriptures? Not so often. It's important that when we hear the word proclaimed, when it's taught, when it's preached, that we do give it its proper due. We're told in the Confession of Faith, for example, chapter 1, that there is an inward work of the Holy Spirit bearing witness by and with the Word of God sown in our hearts. And this happens in a worship service. God knows what we need. He knows the insight that we need. He knows the wisdom that we need to deal with various issues from day to day. And where are we supposed to get this insight from? But from the Spirit working with the Word, from the Word of God, as we engage ourselves in glorifying God. And He gives us the strength and wisdom that we need. But we need to be engaged in it. And that's less likely to happen if we're not engaged in the process, or not just if we're not engaged in the process of hearing the words more than simply audibly, but listening to them attentively. Now, it isn't just the preacher, it's the Spirit of Christ still speaking to us and applying His words to us. You can be in church physically and yet be somewhere else. And the Spirit of God, which is the very Spirit of Christ, is less likely to administer the help you need, the grace you need, if you're here but you're somewhere else. You're distracted. You're mentally encumbered, like Martha was, encumbered with many things. Martha, thou art anxious and troubled about many things, is what He said to her. So when we're in a worship service, just one thing is needful. And so this too is how we show the Spirit of Jesus hospitality. Our final point is this: we're called to show hospitality to others, especially fellow believers. And so when we do this, we do show hospitality to Christ. Notice Matthew chapter 25. Here Christ is giving His parable of the talents. And He says, and in the parable, he says, "The king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me." Now, He meant that to be understood in a positive sense as well as a negative sense. Most of us know this, of course. But it's helpful to remember that when we're called to do something sacrificially, when we're called to do something that's not convenient, when we're tired, well, it's almost a Christian cliche. You hear it so often, but nonetheless, it's true. We're told to do it as unto the Lord, as if we were doing it for Jesus, meaning to do it as an act of service as unto Him. And the promise in Scripture is that He will regard it as so. And you see in Matthew 25, the surprise that the saints of God have when they were helping out their fellow Christians, and yet find out later that wasn't all, that they were blessing. "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or in prison?" And He tells them, "You've done it unto me." So those with the gift of helps are often called to do what they do when it's not convenient. And you know, that's true for all the gifts, all of them. But when we do these things, we're called to do them cheerfully and not grudgingly. We have to put on sometimes the spirit of cheer. That verse in 2 Corinthians 9 that's usually applied to the giving of money really applies to the giving of anything we do for God. "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give." And here's the key: not grudgingly, but cheerfully. "For God loveth a cheerful giver." And then notice the promise that is attached to that. There is a promise attached to it. It's in the same context. It's in the very next verse here, verse 8 in 2 Corinthians. "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." What's all that mean? It means He'll make it up to you. He'll reward you on the back end, so to speak, because you're doing it as unto the Lord. So Martha had the gift, no doubt about it. But as does happen to all of us from time to time, she was burdened down with getting things done. So let's not do the same. Let's worship God, have an attitude of gratitude when we're in the service. Any worship service, really. And so in conclusion, we've seen Christians are called to show hospitality and that there is a gift of helps. And one expression of that is that gift of hospitality. And second, we're called to show hospitality to Christ. And finally, we're called to show hospitality to others. Let us pray. Holy Father, we ask that you grant to us an understanding of this, that so much of what we do for one another, you do take it personally for the good of thy people. In Christ's name we ask this. Amen.